Our study tonight is out of the book of Ezekiel, chapter 16, 17, and I mean chapter 46, verses 16, 17, and 18. The Millennial Kingdom Offerings, the Property Gifts, and the Year of Jubilee. Ezekiel chapters 40 to 48 predict God's restoration of Israel following his many prophecies of judgment on the nation for sin. And Ezekiel 44:1 to 46:24 predicts the temple ministers and ministries in the millennial kingdom. This section reveals God's great holiness in the realm of the temple ministries to the Hebrew people of Ezekiel's day, in sharp contrast to the way they had profaned and desecrated the temple ministries in Jerusalem. So we view Ezekiel 46:16 to 18 on the gifts of property in the future millennial kingdom. There's a tremendous lesson in this, and it has enormous bearing, believe it or not, on what we're facing as a nation right now. I'd like to read the verses and then we'll look at it. Ezekiel 46, verses 16 through 18. Thus saith the Lord God, or thus saith Yahweh Elohim, if the prince give a gift unto any of his sons, the inheritance thereof shall be his sons. It shall be their possession by inheritance. But if he gives a gift of his inheritance to one of his servants, then it shall be his until the year of liberty, or what we would say jubilee. After that it shall return to the prince, but his inheritance shall be his sons for them. Moreover, the prince shall not take of the people's inheritance by oppression, to thrust them out or to evict them out of their possession, but he shall give his sons' inheritance out of his own possession, that my people, that would be the common people, not be scattered every man from his possession. Oh, this is a big, big, big passage for us. The forced seizure of property belonging to vulnerable people had long been a wicked practice in Israel, and the nation's officials were known for violently oppressing vulnerable subjects and evicting them from property they had inherited from their forefathers. If I go back to chapter 45, and just maybe a page or so back, verses 8 to 9, the last part of verse 8, the rest of the land they shall give to the house of Israel according to their tribes. Thus saith the Lord God, let it suffice you, O princes of Israel, remove violence and spoil, and execute judgment and justice. Take away your evictions from my people, saith the Lord God. This is in a section where the Lord was talking about the portion of land that the prince was supposed to earn. And in the midst of it, he has this admonition in chapter 9, in verse 9, where he breaks out, because this has been a huge problem. The wealthy were taking advantage of widows and orphans and the poor because they were vulnerable in courts of law. And they would take advantage of them, slander them, and then use it as an opportunity to seize their property. And so they would end up with property that wasn't, or it was actually almost like armed robbery. They were using the court as a means of robbing from the people. So this was a real problem that needed to be addressed. Now in our day, Marxism similarly proposes the abolition of property and of all right of inheritance. If you check the Communist Manifesto that was authored by Karl Marx and Friedrich Engels in 1848, incidentally, that was the year in which our church was built, under LearnUSA.com, Goals Communist Manifesto, Marxist ideology is increasingly influencing many people in society, with a tendency for many citizens increasingly to look to the government for its livelihood, what results in oppressive taxation. See, the idea is, we want to have common ownership of property. And what they mean common ownership, they don't mean ownership by individuals. They mean it's ownership by the state. And then all individuals are dependents on the state. And of course, we know how that's worked in China and how that's worked in Russia and the Soviet Union. It essentially doesn't work. Well, in answer to these Marxist beliefs and practices, God's directive on the property gifts of the year of Jubilee in the future millennial kingdom is very instructive for us. In the future millennial kingdom, the thousand-year reign of Christ, if the prince, who we believe is the resurrected David, who has been granted a large piece of property by the Lord. Remember, his property stretches all the way from the Mediterranean Sea up to the temple on one side, and on the other side of the temple all the way to the Dead Sea. So you from, you know, sea to sea for the prince, which we believe David belongs. And I forget how wide it is. Is it 8 or 13 miles wide? And it's a big stretch of land. And you've got cropland, you have hills, then you have land that goes down to the Dead Sea, which is heavily rich, enriched in salts and so forth. And also at the Dead Sea in the Millennial Kingdom, it's going to be freshened up, and there are going to be many, many fish there. So David will have access to fishing there, rich fishing, inland fishing, and he'll have access to fishing out in the ocean, the Mediterranean Sea. So anyway, the prince has been granted a large piece of property by the Lord. If he makes a gift to any of his sons as his inheritance, that property will belong to his sons as their rightful inheritance. So opposite Marxism, there will be personal property rights in the kingdom. See, one of the goals of Marxism is to do away with all rights of inheritance. You won't be able to inherit something from your mother and your father in Marxism. That's it. It goes to the state. It's a state's property. Now, but that's not what's going to happen in the kingdom. In the kingdom, boy, you're going to keep property right within the realm of the families, the family units. It's going to be something that is honored by the Lord. However, if the prince makes a gift of his allotted property to one of his servants, that servant will possess the property until the year of Jubilee that occurs every 50th year. This tells us that the year of Jubilee will be observed during the Millennial Kingdom. See, every 50th year is the year of Jubilee, and that's when all the land went back to the original landowners according to God's allotment. And this kept the people who were very poor managers and kept losing their property, kept them being able to get that property back into the hands of their descendants, so that the name of those descendants would not be lost. But it's anyway, every 50th year the land had to revert back. Now, the people who had made money off of that land, they didn't have to give that money back, but the property itself, the source of the land ownership, would go revert back to the people. Now, at that time, the prince's gift will revert back to the property of the prince, and it will be his and his sons by right of inheritance. In other words, wealthy people will not have their properties confiscated to be dispersed to the poor, as in Marxist ideology, but they will retain the right to possess their properties. Wherever Marxism has taken over, they will confiscate the wealthy landowners of the lands of the wealthy landowners and disperse it amongst the poor. But it doesn't work. In South Africa, when Mandela and so forth came in with his emphasis on Marxist ideology, they were in the effort of trying to take and seize the farms by the rich white landowners and turn it over to the blacks. But what happened, the blacks didn't know how to run the farms. And so the productivity went way down. It's just really, and what people don't know in this country is that the original landowners in South Africa were whites. The blacks were not originally there. Blacks were not that far down in South Africa. The blacks came in after the whites had set up shop and developed farms and industries, and the blacks came down to get jobs. But it was not originally a black man's land in South Africa. It was no man's land until the whites went there. But a lot of people don't know that. And so there's been a tremendous amount of injustice that has been accomplished there through Marxist ideology. Anyway, on the other hand, number three, as occurred in abuses under capitalism, the prince will not be allowed to seize any of the inheritance of the common people, evicting them out of their rightful inheritance. Rather, the prince will give his sons their inheritance out of his own property, and he's going to be given a sizable amount, so he'll have plenty of property to dole out, so that none of God's people at the commoner level will be scattered from his rightful land of inheritance. Thank God for that. God's going to be very, very protective of the property rights of individuals. Now, the principle behind these directives is that the lands of the entire earth actually belong to God, and that all the people and the princes are but tenants of the earth that really belongs to God. You know, we forget about this. The one who created the heavens and the earth, God. God created the heavens and the earth. Who owns them? God. The property that you have purchased, really, it's God's. I mean, yes, in name, you own it. But really, you can't turn to God and say, well, God, this is mine, it's not yours. And God says, no, I made it. It's mine. So, in fact, everything. And when Jesus Christ saves us, we belong to him. He purchased us, body, soul, and spirit. He owns us. He owns everything we have. So everything on your property, the trees on your property, the well, the house, the clothes, the cars you got in the garage, even the snowblower, all of that stuff, God owns it. Something we need to keep in mind. Now, after all, Deuteronomy 1, 20 and 25 claims that the promised land was God's gift to Israel, where God had granted Mount Seir, which is a name for Edom, to Esau, and his descendants in Deuteronomy 2, 5, and God had given the land of Moab to the Moabites in Deuteronomy 2, 9. And remember, the Moabites were... Moab was the grandson, was the son of Lot by incestuous relationship with Lot's daughter. And Lot was the nephew of Abraham. So these are relatives. So God wanted Israel to respect the property rights of relative nations. It's interesting, he said, now when you go to the Moab, you're not going to have a stitch of their land. I gave that to Moab. When it comes to Edom, you don't mess with Edom. That's their land. And if you go through their land, you pay for the drinking water that you use if you have to go through the land, if they let you go through it. Well, Edom didn't let them go through it, so they had to go around and out in the Saudi Arabian desert on their way to the Holy Land or the Promised Land. But anyway, God wanted Israel to respect the property rights of relative nations. Every person must therefore respect the property of every other person on the earth, be they rich and powerful or lowly and poor. So the year of Jubilee will be observed in the future millennial kingdom so that all properties will revert back to the original owners or their rightful descendants as their rightful inheritance from the Lord. In this way, the poor will not see the properties of the rich and influential dispersed to them, nor will the rich and influential be able to evict commoners from their properties, but every person will be called to respect the personal rights of inheritance from the Lord that is that person's divinely assigned inheritance. So, in application, may we respect the God-given right of every person to possess what God has legally granted him to own and what he has legally earned by his own labor, whether he's rich or poor, whether he's influential or a commoner. And then two, may we respect the rights of inheritance among all peoples. Three, may we realize that the earth and its natural resources really belong to the Creator, and thus what access we have to them by legal transactions as conscientious stewards who are responsible to the Lord for all that we do with his property. And four, since many relationship problems have arisen over arguments relatives have over inheritances, you'd be amazed how many times I've had to handle this even in the pastorate. May we recall that just as God had Israel avoid seizing Edom, the land of Jacob's brother Esau and his heirs, and just as God had Israel avoid seizing the land of Moab that belonged to the heirs of Moab, a son of Abraham's nephew Lot, may we respect our relatives' properties. A number of years ago, I was watching Judge Judy on a Judge Judy television show. And there was a family that had come before her. They hadn't talked to each other. It was 10, 15 years something. And one family was over here on the prosecution side, and one family was over here on the defense side. And what separated them was an argument over $400. And Judge Judy says, I can hardly believe this. $400, and you haven't spoken to each other, and your blood relatives, you haven't spoken to each other over $400? She said, what you should do is, if it's going to be that big of an issue, just pretend that the $400 is a loss to keep your relationships with your family. This is your family. Why split over $400? And she bawled them out. And I thought, yes, go, Judge Judy, go, you know. And it was nice to hear her just, you know, give it to them, because it was uncalled for. Splitting a whole family and several generations of the families on this side and on this side, over $400. Crazy, absolutely crazy. So we need to learn to respect. And it's better, I know there's a passage the Apostle Paul used, I think it's 1 Corinthians 6 somewhere, it's better for us to allow ourselves to be defrauded than to go to court against a brother in Christ. And I think with relatives the same way. It's, you know, sometimes it's just let it go. It's not worth the fight. But we need to be protective of the property of other people, and as well as we would expect people to protect our property, because it's important.